This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to BPN Radio, to the War Room, to the Sunday Watch, and also welcome to Seismic Radio. So this program is going to be used in several aspects. Now today I want to cover a very close to heart subject, and I think it's very important for Christians to sort of take this on heart and to really look at this in depth, and also let me use the term to wise up on it. Okay, just imagine you've got kids, you know, your kids say are homeschooled. Your kids, they maybe go to a public school. It depends where you live. I mean, if you live in Germany, homeschooling is an impossibility. You can't do this. You have to go to a private school, which costs a lot of money, and a lot of people, it's out of their remit to do this. They just haven't got the resources, especially if you've got several kids. You just can't afford it, and the government doesn't support this. If you're in America, you can homeschool, but sometimes, again, depending, you know, how much money you have or whether you can afford it, it's a very difficult situation at times. Okay, nevertheless, whatever happens, you know, eventually your kids are going to hit the public school system. They're going to hit what the government wants you to do. And then eventually, your kids, you know, whom you have taught everything you deem valuable, you've taught them a Christian worldview, and suddenly they'll be exposed to something very, very different. They'll be not just, you know, the typical party scene and getting drunk at all times and so on, but also a worldview which is very destructive. From a Christian perspective, the theory of evolution is very destructive. Now, once you adopt the theory of evolution, pretty much the whole theology falls down like a house of cards. But the problem is, it's a lie. Yeah. And the theory of evolution has got no substance to it whatsoever. And this is a statement I'll boldly make here on YouTube. Again, to see, you know, have I got any credence? I'm an engineer, I'm an academic, you know, so I had to go through the whole academic thing to become a college professor, or in England I would be called a lecturer. Yeah. So I've been through the system, I've done all my educational stuff, I've done all the other stuff, so I know the world of academia, I know maybe not to a depth many other people know. And I've also been raised in believing in the theory of evolution. And when I became a Christian, as a young Christian, it was, I was 16 years old, so I've been through the whole system. And it was quite a challenge to me, because I couldn't take these people serious, because they literally believed in Adam and Eve. And I thought, you know, what's going on here? You know, how stupid can you be to believe in that? You know, don't they know? And then sort of later, I was just praying about the whole thing, and not that this has got any credence or any scientific proof that this is the case, but I was still in school, and God was just pointing my attention, the Lord was just sort of pointing my attention to something in the biology books, you know, the evidence they come up with. And we were just doing, you know, the whole thing about the theory of evolution. This was, I think, year 10, last year in school, or year 9, I'm not sure, but anyway, one of those 2 years it was, and last 2 years, and we had to cover this subject, and then I looked at the evidence which was there, and they had like a jawbone of a skull, and they made like a complete skull from this jawbone, and lots of other things as well. And then one of the things which kind of struck me is that there isn't really any evidence. You know? They haven't really got that much to substantiate the theory. Then years later, I was looking at the other side. I was looking at some scientists, and again, some evolutionists. If you listen to this, you will be cringing, because in your world, a scientist can only be a scientist if he subscribes to this hypothesis of the theory of evolution. Yeah, if he casts any doubt on it, then at that very moment he goes public. He has lost all his credentials in your eyes. But nevertheless, scientists, I was looking to some Christian scientists scientists who didn't subscribe to the model of evolution, and it was actually more credible than the other side, for sure. And it was very, very interesting to do this. So one of the things we need to do as Christians, and I may be talking to Christians, I may not be talking to Christians, but in the Christian war room, I will be talking to Christians. And just to quickly explain to you the Christian war room concept. In the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 10, Paul talks about, ideas, concepts, views, which lift themselves up, which elevate themselves against the knowledge of God, that we battle against them. And it's a war of ideologies, yeah. Which again, if you are from a secular background, you should be quite familiar between the war of capitalism and Marxism. One won, the other one lost. In my opinion, both are deeply flawed. And the reason is that obviously any ideology without God is deeply flawed, and pretty much both of them are. Yeah. So one is based on greed, the other one is based on blatant atheism, and both have got some good elements in them. Both have got some very bad elements in them, and it's a war of ideologies, yeah, which one goes against the other. One has got more economic pulling power, and then we've seen in the last century that one made it and the other one didn't. And this is, from a Christian perspective, something we are dealing with. Yeah, we are confronted with a lie, which is poised against Christian philosophy, Christian ideology, a Christian understanding of the world. It's not very old. It's only like 150 years old. It's not been recognized. It's only been recognized for about 100 years. And yet, within 100 years of research, these guys I'm talking about the evolutionists, they've got nothing to really show up. Yeah. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. And that is something we have to sort of always bear in mind when we look at the theory of evolution. Now, the important thing is, our kids, they're going to go to universities, and you've got some professors, which they respect, and that is good. They've got some teachers they respect. They've got textbooks. And all these textbooks and teachers and professors, not all, but many of them, they will teach them philosophy and an ideology which is very much anti-Christian. It's very much secular. And I would even go that far and say, which is based on a bunch of lies. And it's basically just a house of cards which you can knock together. And so it's important to always bear this in mind and to prepare our kids, yeah, with arguments to critically judge whatever is put in front of them. So again, it's important to have arguments, to give them the ability to scrutinize all the things that are placed in front of them. And very often that is not done. Yeah. We don't prepare them. We just tell them our viewpoint, but we don't prepare them. And they go out in the world, and they, this little seed of doubt is sown into their minds, and it grows. And by the time they come back, they've pretty much given everything up, and they are just in some sort of turmoil, you know, because of a lie they have accepted as truth. Okay, there's an article here, and this is what you can see here, especially if you are watching on YouTube at Seismic Radio, and it's called 15 Answers to Creationist Nonsense. And normally, and this article has been written in 2002, has been revised in 2005, and I just want to cover some of the points in this article, maybe all 15, maybe just a part of it. But normally you would come up and you would say, okay, you know, here's an evolutionist, and he should have the real McCoy. He should have the heavy artillery to shoot down creationism in his 15 answers. So if you've got 15 points, you can shoot down creationist nonsense. That's what they call it. Then you would surely come up with the heaviest artillery to just make an end of it. Reality is, and I'm just working on this at the moment, and you can check it out as well. Go to christianwarroom.com. That's the website. And again, if you listen to this on BPN Radio on the Sunday Watch, you know, feel free to tune in every night on BPN Radio at 11:30 Central Time, I think it is. But also go to the website christianwarroom.com. You can get there from bpnradio.com or go there directly. And you can look at, I think it's 150s, 160s, in the range. There are lots of talks on different areas. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find 100 arguments, to shoot down the theory of evolution. And some of them are quite heavy and quite severe. There are a lot of organizations. I'm just a, you know, simple guy. I'm interested in this area. I listen a lot to other people. I've got lots of sources where I draw information from. I've got my opinion. I've got my viewpoint, obviously, and I'm not gonna change from it for various reasons. But that's another story. But very often, you know, you just apply a little bit of common sense, and then suddenly the whole idea about evolution just doesn't stand up anymore. You can shoot it down very easily. The reason is there's so many holes in the theory of evolution, and also the whole debate is quite interesting. When I listen to evolutionists, you know, making a case for the theory of evolution, you always get this really, really long talk about scientific methods, yeah, and probability and reasonability and stuff like that, which then leads them to the conclusion that creationism is wrong and the theory of evolution is right. You start asking a few questions and there's just nothing there. Yeah? There's no evidence, there's nothing there. And even if you use their own scientific method and you apply these sort of aspects, they say, okay, if you do A, B, and C, you know, then you can do some experiments which kind of confirm this idea, and then you can apply it and go back even though you cannot produce any evidence for whatever has happened in the past. But it's most probable solution or something. But again, you can do the same thing with creationism as well. As a matter of fact, when you look at the stuff that's around us and you try to analyze it from an evolutionist point of view, you come into a lot of conundrums where just nothing makes sense anymore. And a lot of the theories which are spouted out, they are just not, they just don't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't fit in. Yeah? And there are so many holes in the theory, it just can't stand up. Yeah? It's a bit like a Swiss cheese. That cannot stand up on its own anymore because there's so many holes in the cheese. So if you put the block of cheese on the table, it'll just fall down into itself. That's pretty much the way I see this, the theory of evolution. When you look at creationism, a lot of it just falls into place. Yeah, we don't understand everything, obviously, but a lot of the things we see around us just fall into place, and you can describe this from a creator, a designer, just having, you know, having left his fingerprint in his creation. Okay, 15 answers to creationist nonsense. We're going to have a look at what this man has to say. The author is John Rennie. The article was first published in American Scientific American in July 2002. It was re-edited and reprinted sometime after 2005. And if you Google 15 answers to creationist nonsense and American Scientific American, the magazine, this article will come up, so you can check it out yourself. Okay, right, what has this guy got to say? We've got his little synopsis here, and he says that, you know, that there are legal cases, and therefore they must be right, you know, which have established that it's unconstitutional. That's in America, to teach intelligent design or creationist ideology in science class. The theory of evolution remains consistently under attack. Yeah, why, I wonder? One of the reasons may be because it just doesn't add up. Then he says creationist arguments are notoriously errant or based on a misunderstanding of evolutionary science and evidence. When you read through the article, it's quite interesting as well. I think it's called switch and bait. When you present something, you know, your opponent hasn't really said, but you sort of turn it around a bit, and then you argue against the stuff that's been turned around, and you accuse him of being incompetent or not fully understanding. Then the next synopsis point here is hundreds of studies verify the facts of evolution at both the microevolutionary and macroevolutionary scale, from origin of new traits and new species to underpinnings of the complexity we see in life and the statistical probability of such complexity arising. It's quite interesting as well. Now, microevolution, nobody has got any problems with this. Creationist has got any problems with microevolution. It's basically variety within a species or a kind, whatever you wanna describe it. Now, from a creationist point of view, species is a group of mammals or animals or plants or insects, which cannot transcend from one to the other. Yeah, so a horse does not become a lion does not become a horse, or ape and human, there's nothing there. There's a boundary where we cannot cross species. And you find sometimes that you get hybridization, where I think one of them is a lion and a tiger, and it's called a liger or something, where if you breed both of them, you get these big creatures which come out, but they tend to be infertile. So there's no more further generation. So the only time you get this animal is through mixing both types of cats, which may suggest that originally maybe they were one and they changed slightly, but we don't know. Yeah, but one thing which has never been proven is that a dog becomes a lion, or a cat can mate with a dog, or anything like that. So it's never happened. It's been proven. There's no evidence. There's no evidence in the fossil layer or anything like that. It gets even more bizarre when we look at the fossil layer, but we're going to look at this later. Now, then this guy talks about Charles Darwin and how wonderful a guy he was, and that he's come up with all this stuff. Now, one thing we have to bear in mind, all these theories that were done in the 1850s, even when you look at the fathers of evolution, the theory of evolution, there was just a spirit of rebellion there. And guys like Haeckel and others, they started forging. Haeckel was a guy who looked into embryology, and they started forging evidence. Haeckel was even done for it at the University of Jena. He was reprimanded for forging evidence. I mean, obviously in academia, it's a very big thing if you then present false evidence. He wanted to make a case that the embryo goes through all the stages of evolution. And then he had a lot of drawings to try and illustrate this from different pig, man, frog, and some other embryos. And he wanted sort of to prove this, but he was falsifying his drawings to try and make his point. And obviously, he from what I understand, I was reading up on it, he came up with all this stuff of, I made a mistake, and I did it from memory, and, things can go wrong, and stuff like that. But he was reprimanded by the University of Jena, and where he was teaching, and there was a case. There was like a university court case. And it gives you a little bit the idea of what it was all about. Now, Charles Darwin, he had like other, there were a bunch of people who were into the same thing. All Darwin really said is that, species and adapt, and you come up with survival of the fittest and so on, and you get a group of about four or five people who then come up with all these ideas, and they start shaping them. One of them came up with the geological column. So he was big into geology, and obviously had no idea on how to date this and what to do. So he just came up with a theory, and then they put all these times on it, and then suddenly the times were very specific, where they came up, oh, this must be so and so many million years. They had no idea, these guys. They had no means, they had no scientific means to use the term scientific to make any determination about the age other than their ideas. No, the problem is they all did this sort of in the 1850s, 1860s, 70s, and then these ideas became pretty much the premise of the theory of evolution. And we still talk about the geological column based on the ideas, the fantasies of a guy, I think his name was Wallace, who came up with this. Again, this guy is obviously, when you read this article in Scientific American, he's very hateful against creationists. It's almost like a rampage. Maybe, can I use the term jihad? I mean, obviously, it doesn't kill any creationist, and he doesn't suggest this to do in this article, but you can see there's a clear hatred, and it's not an objective analysis of what is being said and, you know, why these guys come up with this idea and, you know, how they can be reproved. But this is quite interesting when you read through this article. We pretty much pick up on the mean-spirited treatise he's presenting, which is, you know, emotionally loaded, and it really shouldn't be. Yeah, it's science, you know. The truth is the truth, the fact is fact. If he is wrong, he is wrong. It's the same what I say. If I believe I'm right to some extent, and therefore I'm making this point, but the proof is in the pudding. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Yeah. If evolution is right, which I don't believe it is, the truth is truth. I can't fiddle with it. Yeah. One day I'll know. One day I'll stand before God, and God will tell me how it all was. And again, from a Christian point of view, when we stand there, one day we will stand before God, and we will have no questions, because everything will be plain to us. And we will understand, we will see, you know, the glory of God and what God has done and how this universe was created, whether evolution played a part of it. And let me tell you this, that yes, evolution did play a part of it, but only a tiny, yeah. And we are talking about microevolution, where even the Indians, they used to say this, where herds were kept strong through the wolf, you know, picking out the weakest animals from the herd, you know, as the buffaloes were running down the plains in the Americas, in North America. We need to sort of get a grip on this, and this is very, very important. Yeah. Okay, let's go through this article a little bit more and forget about this emotional loaded stuff and see what arguments is he actually coming up with this. Okay, the first one is evolution is only a theory. This is what creationists say. It's not fact or scientific law. Yeah. And it's interesting as well. Now he comes up with all the things, you know, about scientific theory and how it can be determined. And, you know, you've got your peer review and you've got lots of other things. And then you come up and you can describe something as fact. Why? Because these guys say it's fact. That's pretty much what it comes down to. You've got the theory, you know, and it, I was reading some guy who was describing this, and it says it starts off with a guess, you know, then the guess is put through an hypothesis, and the hypothesis is tested as far as it can be tested. Then there's a paper produced, and the paper is peer-reviewed, bearing in mind that all the peers are probably singing from the same song sheet. And then it's either accepted or rejected, or amendments have to be made, and then the paper is released. Yeah? And then it becomes fact as far as the scientific community is concerned. Again, what is done and what these guys love to do is they look at microevolution, which is just some changes within a species or within a kind. So, for example, when we look at the buffalo, now let's look at some other animal. When we look at the giraffe, for example, yeah, or the elephant, yeah, we've got the Indian, we've got the African elephant. They are both different, and they both live in different environments. but it's pretty clear that they both, you know, derived from one ancestor. Yeah. And we've got the mammoth as well, which either was put on the ark or not. Looks like an elephant, like a woolly elephant. Are they all one kind? Most likely they were, yeah, and there's some speciation, but an elephant always stays an elephant, and a giraffe always stays a giraffe, whether the neck is longer or shorter. But what we find is we still find that there is no real difference, yeah. We always find that the giraffe has got so many, neck bones, you know, in the spine, yeah. We find that a giraffe has always been there as a giraffe, but what we don't find is, and what we don't see is, we don't see sort of hybrids between them, or not hybrids, but transitional species. We find variations within a species, but we don't find transitional species. Yeah. And again, it's very, very important to sort of understand this, that these guys say, okay, we observe these things in microevolution, you know, like we've got the wolf and the dog, and we've got the little tiny dogs, Pekingese or whatever they are called. And we've got the absolutely, you know, bull mastiff, the big dogs. And they're all kind of You can still take the sperm from a, you know, mastiff and put it in a Pekingese, and you can still get something out of it. You can still get a dog out of it, but the dog never turns into a cat or something else. And it's sometimes quite interesting, even though I've seen these dogs, which are, you know, smaller than a rabbit, but they're highly aggressive and they just behave like other dogs. Yeah. There's a dog in my neighborhood, and I've got a cat here. The dog is just a tiny dog, but in his mind, he's probably about 2.5 meters tall. And he, I mean, my cat could just take him out with a stroke of her paws. But the dog is just highly aggressive, you know, goes for the cat, you know, whenever it's off the leash. He will just run for it. And, yeah, and obviously, cat gets scared and runs away. Take some height, and that's the kind of stuff that's happening. But the point I'm trying to make is it's still a dog, you know. It's got the mentality of the dog. It barks like a dog. It does everything like a dog, and it's still within the species, even though it looks very different to the original. So we've got some variation within a species, and there's no doubt about this, yeah. And nobody argues about this. Now, what these guys do is they say, okay, if this is within the species, then it goes across the species as well. So, and then they come up with these ideas that, you know, a bird becomes a fish and a fish a bird, and we've got reptiles, and the reptiles go from one reptile to another, and then they turn into mammals, and yet there is not the slightest single proof for any of these transitional things. Even Darwin said that if he's right, that there will be tons of evidence found in the future about these transitional species. And it's never been found. There's nothing there. And so even evolutionists, they come up and they say, evolution happens in splurts, in sudden splurts. Yeah, goes suddenly off. And it obviously doesn't. Okay, you're listening to the Christian War Room, and we were listening to an excerpt, an article by American scientists called 15 Answers to Creationist Nonsense. That's what it's called, 15 Answers to Creationist Nonsense. It appeared in the Scientific American in July, 1st of July 2002, so you can get the article. We're going to carry on the next talk. On this subject here in the Christian War Room, again, it's very, very important to get this right. We are looking at the next generation who is confronted with this nonsense, not creationist nonsense. There's a lot of truth in creationism because everything just lines up. You look at nature, look at creation, look at the evidence even produced by evolutionists and see what they can come up with. And it just fits in nicely with the model of creationism. Doesn't do an awful lot of good for the theory of evolution. They have to obfuscate an awful lot of stuff and try and get people believe their nonsense. Okay, you're listening to the Christian War Room. We are fighting a battle of ideas which set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And that's what we are here for. I would like to invite you for the next talk, which should be tomorrow, or you can go to christianwarroom.com, have a look at the entries there in the Christian War Room. Look for this, for the file, should be 150-something, 15 answers to creationist nonsense, and it should get you somewhere. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we want to pray, Father, for an understanding of creation. We want to praise you for your creation. We want to praise you and thank you for all that you have done, Lord. You have created and you have done something wonderful. Your word says, Lord, that everything that has been done has been done through you. We want to praise you for this, Lord Jesus. We pray for understanding and for knowledge to oppose these ideas which set themselves up against you. Lord, we also pray for a good and solid understanding of what really happened. Let us know the truth. And let us be set free through the truth. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.